And we're back. Auto Influence with another round of automotive news headlines, this time for the third week of April. Of course, this means highlights from both the refined presentations of the tech-centric Shanghai Auto Show, as well as the New York International Auto Show, and its American-sized portions of everything covered with a heavy smothering of automotive gravy. And while we're not entirely sure if that should sound as delicious as it does, we're getting hungry, so let's get down to it. As always, let's kick things off with Ford, who celebrated the 55th anniversary of the iconic Mustang by stealing April 17th from the rest of us and rebranding it as National Mustang Day. As stated so succinctly by Ford's Jim Farley, quote, "We broke the mold when Ford launched the Mustang. Nothing says freedom, the wind in your hair, and the joy of driving like a Mustang. The roar of its V8 on a spring day, there's nothing better." End quote. Setting aside our personal preferences, the numbers don't lie. With the 113,066 Mustangs sold beating out all other sports coupes globally for the fourth year running. Bottom line, we've come a long way since the 1964 New York World's Fair, and even if it is eligible for an AARP discount, the Mustang is still as sexy and as powerful as ever. In other Mustang news, Ford has announced that the 2020 model will enjoy the option of a high-performance package based around a 2.3-liter four-cylinder EcoBoost engine designed by Ford Performance, capable of 330 horsepower and 350 pound-foot of torque. Considered the most powerful powertrain of its kind within the Ford lineup, it is joined by the inclusion of Mustang GT brakes and suspension components, as well as a fully active quad-tip exhaust tuned with a signature sound. Offering a sprint to 60 miles an hour in the mid-4-second range and a top speed of 155 miles an hour, the 2.3-liter EcoBoost offers a 40% broader torque curve than the base EcoBoost and is specced to maintain horsepower more consistently up to the 6,500 RPM redline. Under the rule of CEO Jim Hackett, Ford has proven to be a bit of an enigma. On one hand, they haven't had to endure quite the level of scrutiny that GM has found themselves burdened with, but on the other hand, they're far from beyond reproach, with many of Hackett's strategies and the motivations behind them proving puzzling to automotive pundits. And yet, they're providing a great example of how restructuring can prove profitable, with the prediction of a $1 billion jump in earnings, courtesy of changes made at their Wayne, Detroit facility. Driven by the decision to shift production away from slow-moving compacts to focus on high-profit crossovers, SUVs, and trucks, no one could accuse Ford of not giving people what they want. Of course, there is some concern surrounding Ford's lack of lower-priced offerings following their decision to kill off the Fiesta, Focus, and Fusion. Recognizing the gaping hole in the middle of their lineup, Ford VP Jim Bombick has announced that the automaker plans to restore an affordably priced nameplate to fill that void. No other details exist in regard to body style or dimensions, but the demand just goes to show you that you simply can't please everyone all the time. But plenty of NYIAS attendees were pleased with the introduction of the 2020 Lincoln Corsair, a compact luxury SUV designed to take the place of the MKC, which will be produced stateside at their Louisville production facility. Powered by either a 2 or 2.3-liter turbocharged four-cylinder paired to an 8-speed automatic, the all-wheel drive Corsair generates 250 or 280 horsepower respectively, and plans are in play for electrified powertrains to be introduced down the line. The Corsair will go on sale this fall, with pricing starting somewhere around the $35,000 mark. And speculation has risen that Lincoln's MKZ might be replaced with a revival of the Zephyr nameplate based on the surfacing of a 2016 trademark filing. While no hard facts or confirmations surround these suspicions, there is a lot of buzz surrounding the possibility of a 2020 concept reveal. Over at GM, we're seeing what we've been seeing a lot of across the entire industry, with GM seemingly pumping the brakes on the self-driving Cruise taxi fleet that they had projected a 2019 launch for. This is nothing exclusive to GM, with countless automakers acknowledging limitations in infrastructure and consumer interest, recalibrating their respective trajectories despite such rabid competition to be the first one to achieve Level 5 autonomy. In the works for the last 2 years, GM had planned to spend around $1 billion on finalization of the program in 2019, including the hiring of another 1,000 employees. But federal safety regulations are another hindrance, and it's largely expected that the project will be extended out to 2020 at least. And speaking of 2020, GM has confirmed a July 18th launch date for the long-awaited and oft-lamented 2020 C8 mid-engine Corvette with a camouflage debut in New York. Chevy remains tight-lipped in terms of the C8's powertrain specs, but the drive upper reel was described by the Robb Report as, quote, low and rumbly like a Corvette should, with a hint of a supercharger whine, end quote. We'll leave the speculation for another day, but with all the hiccups along the way and the ripple effect of slowed C7 sales, it's great to see some firm release info on the C8. Now, over the last year and a half, we've seen an unprecedented mix of both forward-thinking innovation and rose-colored nostalgia, with a surprising number of model resurrections and throwback nameplates. And while they won't be available stateside, at least not initially, Chevy has announced the return of two familiar names, the Trailblazer and Tracker. The former seems to be a three-quarter scale version of the Blazer, while the Tracker features similar design notes, albeit with what has been referred to as a, quote, youthful kinetic energy. Whether or not we'll see these or something similar down the line here in the US will remain to be seen. For the benefit of any owners of either the 2019 Chevy Equinox or GMC Terrain, a recall has been issued for a total of 120 vehicles in the US and 24 in Canada to correct weld issues found in the head restraint brackets. For those interested in learning more, reference GM recall number N19220955. One of the biggest GM-centric headlines of the week surrounds the company's contention regarding the Ram 1500's besting of the Silverado for the number two truck spot during Q1. Most of us are well aware of the cutthroat nature of the truck segment, but GM has equated FCA's claim of victory to a, quote, hollow chocolate Easter bunny. The criticism stems from three major accusations. First, that FCA offered $8,500 bonuses to dealers who placed Ram Classics into courtesy transportation fleets, which are counted as retail deliveries. Second, the offering of stacked discounts in target geographies such as Texas. And finally, the availability of short-term, low-mileage leases for Detroit-based employees and families. Combined, GM claims that FCA positioned themselves with unfair advantages. Only time will tell if Q2 validates or refutes such claims in this all-out war. Over at Buick, abysmal sales of the full-size LaCrosse were exemplified by a decrease of 59% in Q1. So it's no real surprise that a discount is now being offered on the premium sedan, with discounts of 16% beginning this month, with delivery taken by April 30th. And Cadillac's NYIAS reveal of the CT5, complete with Super Cruise hands-free driver-assistive technology, was warmly received despite recent development woes that we've reported in recent weeks. Embracing all the premium luxury one might expect, the CT5 comes powered by either a 2-liter twin-scroll turbocharged 4-cylinder or a 3-liter twin-turbo V6, with either being paired to a 10-speed automatic transmission. This puts the CT5 between 237 and 335 in terms of horsepower, and between 258 and 400 pound-foot of torque. Now, if they can stop the Super Cruise from being disrupted by bright sunlight, we might feel a little better about it. Despite FCA's intention to make a $335 million investment in the Windsor plant responsible for production of the Chrysler Pacifica, shift cuts designed to help align production with demand continue to fuel concerns. As such, the long-term fate of up to 1,500 employees remains in question. But back in Detroit, plans surrounding some other FCA investments continue to inch forward, with a major land deal awaiting city council approval. Connected to both the $900 million reinvestment in their Jefferson North Assembly plant and $1.6 billion conversion of two existing facilities into a singular assembly plant, approvals are required by an April 26th deadline. Now, a new appearance package has been made available for both the Charger and Challenger, aimed at American servicemen and servicewomen. Called the Stars and Stripes Edition, the package includes a black and silver center stripe, dark American flag fender decals, blacked out Dodge badging, and oversized 20-inch black wheels. And it looks f***ing sick. And the NHRA is abuzz after sanctioning yet another Challenger in the form of the RT Scat Pat 1320 Angry Bee. Equipped with a 6.4-liter Hemi, capable of 485 horsepower and 475 pound-foot of torque, the Bee ranks as the fastest naturally aspirated muscle car in the world, running the quarter mile in 11.7 seconds at 115 miles an hour. As a wise man named Axl Rose once said, "Yowza!"
You're fired.
Listen, Zach, say what you want, but FCA just took home the most awards from the Texas Auto Writers Association annual roundup out of any manufacturer. This includes the Challenger being crowned Car of Texas, Performance Car of Texas, and Performance Coupe of Texas. The Chrysler Pacifica was named Family Car of Texas and Minivan of Texas for the fourth year running. And the Alfa Romeo Giulia Quadrifoglio was named Performance Sedan of Texas.
That's a whole lot of Texas.
You're both fired.
And Ram has confirmed that a 3-liter turbocharged V6 EcoDiesel variant of the Ram 1500 is in the works, expected to crank out 260 horsepower and 442 pound-foot of torque. However, what's missing from the horizon are any plans for a mid-size variant to the Ram. And in recall news, FCA has issued a recall for approximately 8,000 vehicles, including the 2019 Dodge Challenger, Charger, and Chrysler 300, due to a software issue which restricts the instrument cluster from illuminating certain driver warnings. Notifications were sent out beginning on April 8th, but concerned owners can check their VIN number on the NHTSA website. It's been more than two decades since Toyota led the sustainability charge with their introduction of the Prius Hybrid, but with that charge expanding into a $255 billion global battle between automakers, there are a variety of approaches being taken. And while brands like Tesla and now VW seem to be laying out an all-electric future, Toyota feels that future is further away than many believe. Citing the expansive cost of EV batteries, Executive VP Bob Carter summarized his thoughts by pointing out that Toyota, quote, sees an opportunity in North America, but it's much further down the road, adding, this is going to be a slow evolution in the U.S. market, unlike in China and Europe, where there are government regulations. Hey, Bob Carter, let's not give the government any ideas, okay? Alright, so we've talked a bit about both the Shanghai and New York shows, but only in broad strokes. So let's spend the rest of this quality time together looking at some of the most notable reveals, be they for better or for worse. And with that in mind, we're sticking with Toyota for a little while longer. First off, the New York reveals of both the 2020 Highlander and the highly publicized hatchback variant of the Yaris. In terms of the Highlander, we get an improved cabin experience, improved fuel economy, and a bump in storage space, so minimal that we're inclined to say good try and leave it at that. But with a clean redesign, reducing the oversized grille and extending the length by about 2.4 inches, the new Highlander is appealing and worth taking note of. The Yaris? Well, it's the Yaris with a hatchback. Enough said. But having mentioned Toyota's reluctance to commit to an electric future stateside, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the Shanghai reveal of their Rhombus concept. Targeting consumers born after 1990,
that's us.
Damn, I work with a lot of young people. The Rhombus might be one of the most futuristic concepts I've ever seen, with bold angles that seem to work against both aerodynamics and conventional design theory, and two sliding doors which give way to a four-seat cabin with almost inexplicable swivel chairs in the front. What this foretells about Toyota's planned release of 10 EV vehicles in the next 6 years remains to be seen. That said, do the young people like the Rhombus?
I gotta go pee!
Go ahead, Kyle. Just remember to put the seat up this time. And Hyundai made their presence known in New York with reveals of their overhauled Sonata, as well as the all-new Venue, which we'd mentioned in recent weeks. The Sonata gains some width and loses some height to create a lower stance with a coupe-like silhouette. But most notable is the intent of minimizing the distraction of multiple screens inside the cabin, which seem to be permeating the design of so many models as of late. The diminutive Venue SUV seems custom-made for urban use and is positioned under the 20 grand mark to be Hyundai's entry-level offering. And in our opinion, it's the accessibility of the pricing that best defines the Venue's appeal. Otherwise, it's small, boxy, serves up 121 horsepower, is front-wheel drive. I mean, case closed. Also debuting at the NYIAS were the GTS variant of the game-changing Stinger, as well as the rather peculiar Habanero concept. It's no secret that we love the Stinger, even though we'd never stop being surprised to admit that out loud to other people. And while we love the 365 horsepower GT, especially with the option of all-wheel drive, the rear-wheel GTS gains dynamic all-wheel drive with the option of comfort, sport, or drive mode, which regulates power to the rear wheels, setting it at either 60, 80, or 100% respectively. The inclusion of a mechanical limited slip rear differential is another perk. But the curiously named, or at least curiously spelled, Habanero concept is a unique forward-thinking compact EV crossover with autonomous capability. Flaunting four butterfly doors and a heads-up display which occupies the entire windshield, it's hardly the crossover of today. Factor in the READ system, which stands for Real-Time Emotion Adaptive Driving, which interprets the driver's emotional state and adapts the interior accordingly, and it becomes a little more Black Mirror-ish. But the 300-plus mile range is something to take note of, and the design, however chaotic, is far from displeasing to the eye. Just get out of our damn minds, Kia. Earlier, we'd mentioned the angular future foretold by the Toyota Rhombus. On the flip side of the equation comes the Genesis Mint EV concept, whose sleek design is almost devoid of nearly any angle or really any flat surface. Described as fashion-forward, the small two-door EV with a 200-mile range was presented in a misty metallic green, which helped to display its aerodynamic contours. Supercar inspired, the Mint trades a traditional hatchback for a pair of wing-like doors that open skyward. Maybe not sensible in a production sense, but certainly cool to look at. Amongst their various brands, the Volkswagen Group was among the automakers who made an appearance in both Shanghai and New York. This was, of course, a welcome break from the headlines of former CEO Martin Winterkorn being charged by German prosecutors in relation to VW's continuing emission scandals. That said, let's talk about some of those reveals. In Shanghai, we were introduced to the Volkswagen Terramount X, ID Rooms, and AI ME concept. The Terramount is a two-row version of the Atlas that will be released stateside, but is largely unimpressive and we've already grown tired of talking about it. The ID Rooms, spelled with two Z's for the record, is an all-electric full-size crossover concept that also fails to grab our attention, both in terms of general appearance and that fucking name. That said, it's the perfect vehicle for girls named Amy, who spell their name with one I, two M's, and two E's, which is a kind of bizarre segue to Audi's reveal of the AI ME concept Level 4 autonomous hatchback that offers a, quote, broad range of high-tech features for communication, entertainment, or simply relaxation, including a VR system designed for passenger enjoyment. In New York, the VW Group also presented the Audi R8 supercar and Porsche 911 Speedster. The former enters the scene with a starting price tag as high as $216,245. Then again, you get a V10 performance engine with a top speed of 205 miles an hour, courtesy of 602 horsepower and 413 pound-foot of torque. The latter wrangles 502 horses and 346 pound-foot of torque to reach 192 miles an hour and sprints to 60 in 3.8 seconds. But it does herald in the end of the 991 generation of the Porsche 911. But one of our favorite reveals has to be the Qiantu K50, a Chinese electric sports car that can reach 60 miles an hour in 4.3 seconds, courtesy of twin electric motors that churn out 430 horsepower and 560 pound-foot of torque. While we don't expect to cough up the $149,000 that the K50 will be priced to start at, it certainly struck a distinctive pose. And in closing, we'd like to give credit where it's due and recognize Honda for their hashtag The Text Talk campaign, which not only reiterates the importance of discussing the dangers of texting and driving with teenagers, but shines a welcome spotlight on parental hypocrisy, showing that sometimes we don't set the best examples. As the parent of a teenage daughter fast approaching driving age, it rings true and provides a powerful reminder of the role we play in our children's transformation into responsible drivers. So, that's it for Auto Influence this week. Despite being a secular, non-denominational entity, we'd like to recognize those celebrating both Passover, like Josh.
I just went on Facebook and marked myself safe from the angel of death.
And Easter, like my daughter.
Forget the egg hunt, Pop. I want Visa gift cards.
And for everyone else, just have a great weekend. And as always, say hi to your mom for me.